Hi.
Hi. Hi. I'm Jazz Fanatic.
Yeah, Jazz.
My home group really is called the Text Messages Group of Narcotics Anonymous. It's in the North Pittsburgh area. It's a rather new meeting. We're really proud of it. The first thing I want to say is thank you to the committee for allowing me to be of service, for asking me to share whatever my higher power has to share for you. I don't have any clue what it's going to be. When I got the topic, I remember thinking, wow, trusting the process, that is so cool. And like from then until now, having all of these really awesome thoughts about it, none of which I can remember. I know that I've been through a lot of processes clean. I know that I've watched a lot of friends go through a lot of processes. I know that my concept of the word trust has changed over the time that I've been clean. My clean date's October 24th, 2005, so God willing, it'll be 9 years in a couple of months. I know that for the last 2 years before I got here, I was homeless, couldn't stay out of jail. Getting clean wasn't on my radar. I didn't even know it was possible, really. So coming in here, I didn't have any life skills. I didn't come in here like with a job and with a family and with a house or with kids and a laundry list of things to clean up. So I guess in some regards, I was a little bit fortunate. I kind of came in here as a blank slate. I was able to kind of make it up as I went along. And I did that. I tried on a lot of different personalities when I got here. I had, I wore like 2XLs, hats turned to the side, baggy pants, and skater shoes. And I definitely went through a phase of short skirts, high heels, and not much else. And I say that to say the process of finding who I am and also who I'm not has been a journey, and it's still a journey, and it continues. And a lot of that has to do with step work, and a lot of it has to do with the women that I have in my life. Including my sponsor. I want to say, Alan, are you still sitting over there? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much for speaking. I'm really grateful. I really just kind of want to go to bed now after you spoke. But I'm like so filled. So thank you. When you were talking about sponsorship, I was thinking about both my sponsor and then that whole thing at the end. I have a sponsee that I have watched grow. And being a part of that process. So, I'm probably going to jump around a little bit. When I need to say that when I was getting ready to come up here, I also was not in a very positive space. I get really nervous before I have to speak, and I focus on everything but carrying the message. And it was really funny because I was really worried about like what I was going to wear, who was going to be there, and I get here and no one can see me and I can't see you. So, and my butt sweat from sitting on that thing, so it really doesn't matter anyway. So, it was pretty great getting here. I've never been here before, so I really got stripped down to the core. We got here after dark. When I was using, I was not afraid of walking down any dark alley, going through any place to get what I wanted. I'm clean and I'm very afraid of the dark. So we're walking and we have like the little phone flashlights. We didn't think to bring a flashlight. We get here and like we get up on the little things and there's like all these open seats back there, but you can't see it when you're standing here because of the fire. So I sit down and I sit there for a couple of minutes and I think, I know my friend's here. I wonder if I'll be able to see where she is in the dark. And I just start looking, and I see the back of her head, and I say, I know that's her. And I thought, maybe I'm wrong, you know, because I couldn't really see. I thought, no, I know I'm right. And that's another process, you know, I am to allow myself to have become so vulnerable, and to be so open with someone, and to allow them to be open with me, that I know them. You know, when you know someone so well, you know the shape of their head and the way they their hair is, you know. So I like rolled down and I just hugged her, and that's how I spent, you know, the last hour and a half, and listening to that sound and staring at the fire and occasionally, you know, glancing up at the stars. You know, so that was a little bit of a process, just trusting the process, trusting that I'm here for a purpose, trusting that I was asked to share. I believe heavily in sponsorship in Narcotics Anonymous. I do not believe that it's an option. I believe that we say it's a suggestion, but it's like, I suggest you look both ways before crossing traffic in New York, you know? In order to get the most out of what we have to offer, we take part in Narcotics Anonymous sponsorship in whatever form that takes, whether it's setting up or cleaning up after a meeting, whether it's talking to someone after a meeting. You know, my personal niche is service boards and committees. But, you know, if I'm asked to share, this for me is, it's the most humbling. I often feel like I'm not worthy. I often feel like so small, you know, just to be a part of and to allow my higher power to bring something out of me, and I have no idea what it is, just to be willing. Like I said, I'm going to jump around. So when I was asked to speak, and I told, I don't know if I told you or if I told one of my sponsees that I was asked to speak on trusting the process, and she just burst out laughing, whoever it was. I've been going through a bunch of different things in my life that required me to trust in a process. You know, my relationship, I've been with my boyfriend for almost 3 years. Again, coming in here with no life skills, I had zero relationship skills. My ability to relate on any level was so skewed from childhood on. You know, I wasn't nurtured and taught how to love and how to interact with people in a way that made any kind of sense for me or for them. So coming into the rooms, I can totally relate, you know, with the whole, if you're dating him, I believe I should date him because obviously he's worthwhile. I had no idea that that was inappropriate. I had no idea how much hurt I was causing myself, my friend, and random man involved. Also, being a woman who's been hurt in many other facets, I had that whole mentality of, I don't owe anyone anything, you know, and that's so horrible, you know, just that fear-based removal that is masked and I call it anger, you know, I deserve to treat you poorly because I've been treated poorly by everyone else for the rest of my life. So anyway, I've been in this relationship for almost 3 years, and I've been faithful. I've been honest. I have sat through pain. I've sat through, I've been aware of the good times. I've been aware of, I'm getting attacked. I can't, this is the first healthy relationship I've ever had, and I'm trying to put it into words. We started going, God, he might be mad at me. We started going to therapy for no real reason. we didn't have like any major problems. It was suggested to us by other friends who were doing it, and it was amazing. And it opened so many doors to like so many of these painful issues, like I said, that had caused me to treat people poorly, and to trust him to be a part of it with me. Because anything I go through, we go through. And I had no idea that that could happen. I thought that everything I went through, I went through. And you were just an innocent bystander, or you weren't going to help me. You were just going to watch. I had no idea that the process of being in a relationship was we were relating to each other. This is a combined effort. And we were going to grow together. And that's how my friendships are. That's how my sponsorship relationships are. I had no idea. When we talk about, again, with like the list of what I wanted when I came in here, I don't even know that I had a list. I don't even know, maybe a job, maybe a boyfriend with a car, probably a nice pair of shoes. I had no idea that I would have an 8-year-old that I am terrified that somebody else will hurt his feelings, let alone that I might hurt his feelings. You know, and I'm honest with him, and I care about his opinion. He's 8, but he has an opinion. I had no idea that I would be a good parent. I didn't know that that was coming in Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know that that was a process that I was signing on for when I started working steps and I got pregnant. You know, experience had taught me through my relationships with my parents, my relationships prior to recovery, what I had seen from people prior to recovery, that when I got pregnant, I was either not going to be able to do it or I would fail. And neither of those things happened. Just by trusting the process, just by asking for help, doing things one at a time, not the whole thing, you know, because I see the whole picture and I get real, real overwhelmed because I think I have to do it all and I have to do it all perfectly. One step at a time, and being willing to be humble and being willing to accept, you know, like the true meaning of humility. Like, I am not up here, but I am also not down here. You know, I am somewhere in the middle. When I first got clean, I didn't have a good job. I worked 2 jobs. I worked restaurant jobs, and I didn't have a car. I had to walk like a mile and a half to a trolley, take a bus to one of the jobs. I worked like overnight, and then I would come back pregnant. I never knew I had it in me to do something like that. I went from working at the crappy restaurant to working at a better restaurant to managing a restaurant through this whole time. When I got pregnant, I decided I wanted to go to school. I had never gone to college. When I graduated high school, ambition was not on my list of character traits. But when I got pregnant, I realized, like, I can't be a schlep. I can't just sit here and, like, do nothing. I have to do something. So I went to school. And when I went to school, I started at the bottom. I started with remedial math. But I did really good at remedial math. And then I did really good at remedial algebra. And then I did really good at, like, all of the other classes and ended up on the dean's list and invited to the honor system. This is not just my story. This is most of our stories when we go to school in Narcotics Anonymous. Through that process of working the jobs and going to school and ending up at this management job, I ended up with a job that I've had for the last 5 years. Part of me wants to start blabbing on about the awesome material things that have happened in my life, but that isn't the important part. You know, it is nice to have a home that's clean, because that's, let's talk about some of the material things. The fact that my home is not roach infested, there's no one getting high in it. It's clean. I care about cleaning my home. My grass is cut. There are no broken down vehicles. No broken windows. You know, I walk my son to the bus stop every day. People in my neighborhood know me and wave at me when I come around. They don't like turn, you know. people at my job respect me. I actually, this almost makes me want to cry. I'm so excited about it, though. I'm not. I've never felt worthy or wanted, or that, you know, my performance and any sort of job atmosphere, you know, because I was on the grind no matter what I did. I wasn't like in some professional atmosphere working up the ladder, you know. I just do it to the best of my ability. I got offered another position with another company making a lot more than I'm making. So I put in my notice with the company that I'm working for, and they came back immediately. They called me and said, what can we do to keep you? I've never had anybody ask me that. You know, so anyway, like I said, it's not the material things. It's things like that. It's the self-worth. It's the dignity and grace that I've been able to gain in here as a woman in Narcotics Anonymous. I came in here beaten and broken. I was 120 pounds. Like Alan said, I'm not built to be 120 pounds. I had nothing. I came in here when I went to the court-ordered three-quarter house or halfway house from the prison that I was in. I had the t-shirt that somebody had given me because I didn't even have family to put money on my books when I was in jail. So literally the only possession that I had when I came into any form of Narcotics Anonymous was a t-shirt somebody gave me. So like dignity, grace, integrity, any of the character defects, or any of the spiritual principles that we learn, were just foreign. You know, it's so powerful. You know, Alan was talking about traveling and staring into the fire. I love camping. For a girl who couldn't get off a 2-block radius when I was using, like literally, I don't know if any of you can relate to that, when you're using, you can't go any further than the set that you're on. I've gone to California the last 3 years, and we're going in a couple of weeks, and we go to this camp out that's right on the beach. And the first year that I went, and it's crazy, the camp out, there's literally 60 tickets. They can only get 60 tickets. It's a very small campsite. And almost everyone there has amazing amounts of clean time. Like the least amount of clean time might be 29, 30 years. And they asked me to speak. I was their Saturday night speaker. I was so honored that they... Again, that I was wanted, that somebody wanted to hear what I had to say. It still blows me away. I have to say that, like, even with the great things that have happened and the things that have filled me up, I also feel really blessed not to have a big head, if that makes sense. I mean, and I'm really happy about that. I'm happy to have people in my life who check me on a regular basis, you know, who keep me really realistic. Like, I don't know if you understand that or if you have people in your life who do that for you, but, like, it keeps my goals in line, you know? It's not just about, like, calling me on my shit or, like, being able to be honest with somebody to that level is such love. You know, being able to love someone not in spite of their defects, but almost because of them, you know, and to know that I'm loved regardless. You know, so I don't know how many processes I've talked about. I don't know. I do want to talk about trust for 1 second before I'm done. My level of faith has changed and grown the longer I've stayed in this process. I came in here believing in nothing. When I got to the third step, I just passed over the whole God word. Me and God were not on speaking terms. It wasn't until I got to 11 and my sponsor got, she was able to tell me, like, it can, my higher power can be anything I want it to be. You know, and this is not her, this is not me, it's in our literature. But it took me like 7 years to get to that point. So I am still like really blown away by this walk that I have with the higher power that I have of my own understanding. You know, from my perspective, this higher power is like standing next to me and always is. And I can like have a conversation with my higher power. I don't know what you and your higher power do, but like we're buddies, you know? And so like the idea of trusting a process for me is not knowing, having no idea what's coming. And I'm in the middle of like three or four or who knows how many things, because sometimes I'm in the middle of something and I don't even know it's happening yet. And I don't know because my perception is so small. And I just have to trust that my higher powers got it. You know, like their perception's way bigger than mine. And I just have to have faith. And I think that's about all I have.
Thank you, Jess G. from Text Messages Group for speaking. That was really what I needed to hear. And I would like to introduce the second speaker, Graham G. from Oakmont Group of NA.
Wow, you really can't see anybody. My name's Graham. I'm an addict.
Hey, Graham. Before
I start talking about my topic, I really have to acknowledge that my recovery and this Unity retreat have like been woven together throughout the time I've been here. The very first time I came up to this retreat, I had 5 days on the Friday, 5 days clean. My first clean time countdown was here, and they gave me a basic text. And now I already bought one, but just the fact that they would give me something just for showing up, it just seemed kind of cool. It was like a free prize. The second time I came up here was my very first lead at this place, and it was like Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So thankfully, it was a small group, kind of like this. And I was so nervous. My friend called me and asked me to speak. I hadn't even had a year clean yet. I had 3 months clean in like, you know, in the winter time. And he's like, "Can you speak for us?" You know, right after your 1 year. And I did, you know, and I showed up and I did. And I had all kinds of nerves about that. And there was a guy in the circle that I knew had at the time 30 plus years. And, you know, just him being here, I knew that there's nothing I can say up here that he hasn't already heard. And it just, like, all the fear left me, you know, and it was just, I was able to tell my own story. So my very first lead was at this circle, and this is now two more times. This is, like, I think my fourth time here. I got clean here. I spoke my first lead here. I shared the last time I was here, and here I am again. Fortunately, all these have all been small meetings, because I still get nervous. As far as trusting the process, I didn't really put much thought into it, because I know whenever I think about a topic, I get in my head about it, and I have no idea what I'm talking about. So I really didn't think about it at all until today. And I actually, like, I did a quick Google search of, like, what trusting the process is, and, you know, other people do. Other people know the phrase besides just addicts. It's not just us, you know, and we have our own unique process here of working through the 12 steps, but other people have the process of life too. And something that kept popping up on Google was all these like memes, like the t-shirts, keep calm and insert, you know, phrase here. Keep calm and work a step. Keep calm and call your sponsor. Keep calm and just vape on. Okay. And it's that simple, man. And in active addiction, I was always the type that, even before active addiction, just as a kid, like, I was always a quitter more than I was a finisher. Okay? Like, I would always, like, sign up for stuff that sounded good. Soccer, Cub Scouts, whatever, you know. And then I'd get tired of it one day, and I'd say, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And, like, especially once drugs got involved, because then it was like all these, you know, side hobbies I had, they were just getting in the way. They were really just getting in the way. Like, I want to get it in. This is much more fun. I get out of myself. I can relax. I can kind of hide in my own little bubble with my friends that I choose to associate with. I don't have to, you know, listen to authority. You know, drugs was just easier. Smoking weed and just kind of chill. You know, just chill. Like, I don't want to be involved in sports anymore. I don't want to be, like, in gifted programs. Like, let me just kind of step back and not be pressured into things for the rest of my life. So I was always quitting stuff. You know, and, like, I got clean and I realized I didn't really have much. I wasn't really involved in much. You know, I started coming to places like this and camping, and I realized I really don't like camping. Like, I don't like sleeping in a tent in the woods and getting bitten and sweating all day and, like, not having, you know, running water and a flushable toilet. And I don't really like doing it, but I did it anyway because you guys told me, like, this is a good place to be. And it was. Like I said, 5 days clean, I was up here against my own will with my buddies that, you know, I had just met in the past couple weeks or months. And, I had a great time up here, you know. I started learning how to, like, trust that whatever I want doesn't necessarily matter. It's about what's good for me. And so there's so many different processes in here. Like, I came in here and I started doing what people told me to do. I started, like, I became a GSR really early on and started going to area service. And it wasn't much fun at first, but, like, I decided that, like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to, like, show up every month at least and, like, bring a notebook and a pen and, like, try to figure out what the hell's going on, because I didn't have a clue, you know. I was kind of thrust into it. My home group hadn't had a GSR in years. And then here's me, like, the newcomer with a little bit of willingness. They're like, here, you can have this role. go to the area, get us our literature, and vote. So I, like, learned how to do it, you know, and little things like that over time kind of started to add up to me having, like, some actual skills in the world, you know, just those little clerical skills. Like, I started developing an opinion again. I started, like, joining other committees outside of NA. And being an active part of things, like coming to a meeting all the time and being able to share with people, like, what's really on my mind, like, it kind of opened me up and got me out of that little, like, that little bubble that I used to like to hide in. So, like, not really knowing, like, what the outcome was going to be, a lot of the time, like, not really knowing, like, why I was even getting involved in stuff. I was just doing it. Like, I had free time. I was clean. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had quit everything. Like, jobs didn't want me back. School didn't want me back. I was a quitter. I was a dropout, you know. Grades were poor. I had lived at people's houses, like, friends, like, couch surfed for a while, and, like, they didn't want me back. So, like, this was a whole new adventure of, like, putting stock in myself, just kind of doing things to fill time. And, like, it ended up starting something that, like, I didn't really expect, you know. Like, I got clean, I stayed clean for a while, and I was doing the right things, and I started working steps with my sponsor, and, like, I was always real resistant and real defiant. Like, I always thought, like, well, I can work step one, but I'm never going to get through step two. I'm never going to come to believe in some power greater than myself, because, like, what could there be? And I got through that. And then I thought, well, I'm never going to put faith in a God. I'm never going to call it God. I'm never going to give in to this, like, cult that you guys are all a part of. And, you know, I worked the third step. And it went on. And, like, I'm never going to, you know, the fourth step I was okay with. But then the fifth step, I didn't want to share it with anybody I knew. I was going to do that with a stranger because, like, it's my stuff. You know, like, people that know me don't need to know about my embarrassing stuff. And I ended up sharing it with my sponsor. And, like, every time I went through, like, a new step, something new, every time I come through something new, I grow from it. I gain something from it. I learn something from it. And it doesn't always, like, I don't always notice it right away. But especially with the steps, like, I'll work two and I'll understand one better. I'll work three and I'll understand two better. And I start applying these principles in my life. And somewhere along the line, I realized that I was clean and I was doing a lot of recovery-based stuff. But that was it. Like, I was living at my mom's house. I wasn't working. I couldn't really, you know, I just didn't really do too much. And I got a criminal record. I was arrested so many times for drugs, it wasn't even funny. And I actually got out of most of them, except for there's still a few that, like, they're there, you know. And I'd done my share of jail time. Like, I've been in the newspaper a lot. Like, the small town I was from, people didn't really want to hire me. There was a lot of careers that I pretty much shot down with the, you know, crimes I was involved in and stuff. And I literally woke up one morning with an idea in my head that I was going to be an attorney. Don't know why. You know, my mom had always told me at a young age, like, I'd win every argument, so she thought it would be a good idea, but it wasn't really my idea until I had about 18 months, getting close to 2 years clean, and I, like, woke up one day and I thought, that's one thing I can probably still do. And I thought, well, all this, like, negative, like, law-breaking stuff that I have in my past, well, if I could, like, do something that good, maybe it would compensate for all the bad that I've done. And I didn't really know how this was all going to work. You know, I'm just clean and, like, thinking and, like, just, I don't know what's going on, but it wasn't really a plan. It was more of just, like, an idea. So I had some clerical skills from, like, you know, doing, you know, GSR work and, like, doing some other stuff. And so I started, like, doing some research, which I taught myself how to do in recovery. And I found out that, like, well, maybe I could get the first step towards this goal. And the school that I had gone to didn't allow me back the last time I had checked. So, you know, 5 years had gone by. And I do this research and I find out that they have a program that they just initiated where if you're out of school for 5 years and you can prove that there was some reason that your grades were poor, there was some reason that you didn't come to class, and if you can, like, show documented evidence that, you know, that's how it was then, this is how it is now, and you can keep your grade point average up above, like, a certain point, they'll let you back. And it almost sounded too good to be true. It was like this program was built for me, and I was one of the first people to utilize it. So I, you know, I started doing footwork, and I went and I got every counselor and everybody that, you know, knew my situation from rehab, from whatever, outside of NA, because, like, we're pretty anonymous here, but, you know, anybody I could that would help me along, and I got a couple references and I got back into school. So in order to go to be a lawyer, you need a law degree. In order to get a law degree, you have to go to law school. In order to go to law school, you have to have a bachelor's degree somewhere else. So step one was get this bachelor's degree, and I had taken 5 years of classes, changed my major 3 times, and then I was kicked out for, like, not showing up. So I knew that, like, I had to make up for a lot of lost time. So I figured, what, no time to, like, start but the present. I wasn't going to wait until, like, the next year started. So I jumped right in. Like, this was springtime. And I got this process hurried up so I could jump in the summer session. So summer session rolls around. I take, like, a full workload. I'm taking 12 credits over a summer. And then fall comes around and I'm taking, like, another 15. And then the winter time comes and I'm taking 3 credits. Over Christmas, I'm studying macroeconomics. You know what I mean? I'm just go all in. And before I know it, like, I'm actually, like Jess shared, like, I'm getting 4.0s, like, every grading period. 4.0, 4.0, 4.0. My grade point average when I started this whole thing was, like, a 1.6. I mean, I was not allowed back in college. And the way this program works, if you can continue to keep your grades up for so long, they let you keep your classes that you passed, but they just eliminate your grade point average completely, and they just keep your new one. So I ended up graduating with, like, a 3.8 almost. I graduated with honors, and I got a bachelor's degree that I really shouldn't have had, you know what I mean? Like, I really shouldn't have had it. Like, once I started using it and I threw all that away, like, most people don't get back to go back and do it again. I can remember the day I was in the library at school, and I got a phone call from some random number. It was the day that I got accepted to a law school, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs in this library upstairs in the quiet study zone, and I'm just like, ah! Like, I'm talking on the phone to this guy, but I'm like talking so loud, like everyone around me is just staring at me, you know. And so I ran out in the hall, and I was just like calling people, and I just got so excited, and I can't believe that, like, that I would get accepted into a law school. Like, I didn't really think that, like, this was actually going to happen. I thought it was a pipe dream, and I thought I would pursue it as long as I could and say that I gave it my all. I didn't really trust that the process would work. You know what I mean? I put in the footwork thinking that maybe there was a shot, but I thought the shot was just too long for me. I didn't think I was actually going to get there. So I get in. You know, I get into law school. And then, like, fear, man, it keeps overcoming me. Like, it keeps coming back. Like, just because, you know, I get through a couple of things doesn't mean, like, the next thing I'm going to be confident about. You know, like, the next thing comes, and it's like orientation day for the first year of law school. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm the old guy. I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to make friends. Like, I don't want to tell anybody my story, you know, like, all these different things. And it turns out, like, it was harder than any other school I've ever had to take. It was different. I mean, it was way more work than I expected. But it was doable. I mean, it was very doable. I made a lot of changes. I moved. I got a house closer to where school was. And I started, like, studying ridiculous amount of hours. You know, my meeting attendance went from about 5 meetings a week down to 1 meeting a week. In a hurry. I didn't think I could do anything else besides school, because I thought I was so deep into this thing that I thought that I was, like, never going to get out. Like, I just needed to study 24 hours a day just so I could get a passing grade, because, like, this student debt's going to come around eventually, and I want to have something to show for it, so I need to pass. And I got to a point where I wasn't focused enough on recovery anymore. I was doing, like, the bare minimum to, like, stay clean. And the girl I was with left me out of the blue. And it, like, it just shocked me. It just shocked me to the point that, like, it actually jarred me into a point where I knew that I needed to step up my meeting attendance and trust the process. So my schoolwork just died right there. It just died for about 4 weeks. I wasn't doing any studying. I was showing up in class. I was taking notes, and that was it. I was going to meetings like crazy. I was talking to people. I was calling my sponsor. I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning every night on the phone, trying to get back to some sanity. Right before finals, I got back to some sanity. Right before finals, and I had like a couple of days to study, and I studied, and I actually did better. I did better then than I did in the winter. Like, my spring grades were so much better than they were in the winter. And I don't know. Whenever I get stuck in a bind, like, I always, like, want to. I always want to act on fear. I always just want to act on fear. I always want to, like, you know, but it's not going to work for me. And, like, but this, but that. It's, I'm not good enough for, you know, time and time again, working this program has showed me that time and time again, like, it's going to be okay, no matter what. And, like, I can start. The story isn't written yet. I didn't pass the bar exam yet. I still got one more year of law school. I may not get there. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is, it's going to be okay. I have a backup plan. If that doesn't work out, I'm still going to be okay. You know, this week I've been getting, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit too. This week I've been getting key tags all week, and whenever I get up and get my key tag and tell everybody how I did it, what keeps coming to mind is that, like, this amount of clean time I have does not matter to me anymore. You know, what I have today is what matters to me. Because I really believe that, like, I'm no different than anybody else in here. I don't care if you have 30 years or 30 days. Like, I'm somewhere in the middle, but really, we all have today. You know, and as I was thinking about trusting the process, I was thinking that really early on, man, people told me that I can start my day over at any time. Like, no matter what happens today, no matter what comes down the pike, I got a sponsee going through stuff right now that I keep telling him, like, don't use, go to a meeting, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, like, and then I don't do it myself, you know, I just always want to project, like, I'm a pretty good planner, I'm a pretty good organizer, I'm pretty good at, like, mapping out my calendar for what's going to happen next week, but today I finally know that, like, it's going, even if my plans don't go as I wanted them to, they're still going to go how they're supposed to. You know, I've worked some steps in this program. I'm on the 12th step, but it's not like I'm done. There's no finish line. I know that, like, once I get through the 12th step, I'm probably going to have to continue working a 10th step, an 11th step, a 12th step regularly. I know once I get through school, like, I'm not going to be done with life. Like, I'm going to have to work. You know, I'm going to have to, like, learn how to use the tools that I learned there. I'm in a good, loving relationship today. I heard it shared a couple times from the other speakers that, you know, we don't really get in big arguments. You know what I mean? Like, we get in small, petty arguments, but, like, we're not at each other's throats. Like, I don't raise my voice today. I don't hit my girlfriend. We haven't slammed any doors in each other's faces. You know what I mean? Like, we handle it like adults, and, that's another process that I'm kind of going through. Like, this is all kind of new to me. Like, I didn't grow up in a family like that. I didn't. You know, and it's nice to have that kind of security blanket in my life. You know, it's like I have someone to come home to that works a program herself. You know, and there's a lot of honesty there. You know, there's love, there's understanding there. I'm not used to those kind of things at all. And I can trust her. You know, if she's going to go out with her friends, I can trust her. I can't remember any relationship where I've been that I can actually trust them to, like, leave and go out with other people, and I have no worries about it. You know, this program's given me, and trust is a really big thing, you know. It's given me the ability to trust others. I trust my sponsor with my life. I trust my sponsees with what they tell me is the truth. It's like faith in the unknown, man. Like, I don't know where this path is going to lead me to, and I really quit asking. Like, I know I have goals, and, like, I set goals today, where I want to be. I also know that if it doesn't work out how I want it to work out, something better is probably going to happen. You know, it's probably going to work out better than I expected, because sometimes, like, my plan wasn't good enough for me. Sometimes my plan just didn't work. So, I don't know, where I'm at today, I feel like I'm all over the place. I love this program, man. I really do. Like, I have no idea what tomorrow is gonna bring, and, the last time I was up here, I can remember, like, coming up here with no expectations, and I was a mess. And I signed up to like chair a meeting. I ended up having to speak at a meeting, and the guy that shared before me had like so much clean time, and I had like a couple years, you know, and he had like five times as long as me. And he told me after the meeting that something I said he had to hear that day, you know, and that's what I love about this program. You know, it really doesn't matter how much clean time we have, because anybody can save anybody's life anytime. You know, and I can't say that I've done that for anybody tonight, but hopefully I've at least shared something that we can relate to. And keep calm and work the steps. If nothing else, man, it's that simple. Keep calm and keep working the steps. Show up to a meeting. You know, I call my sponsor. I try to do the next right thing. You know, life keeps getting better. May not be perfect. It may not be how I want it, but it's the journey continues. The journey continues. So thank you. That's all I have. Nice.